All right, the next thing we want to ask about is health maintenance. Now, in terms of prevention of disease, there's three levels of prevention. Primary prevention is sometimes called health promotion. It's just healthy activities that generally make a person more healthy. So these things include, I'll talk about what they include in a moment. The second one is secondary intention. It's disease detection and early treatment. So how many of you have ever gotten your blood pressure checked? How many of you have ever gotten your cholesterol checked? How many of you have ever been checked for lice when you were in school? How many of you were ever checked for scoliosis in school? Okay, those are screening activities. We're looking for a disease early so we can treat you early. That's called secondary prevention. Now, tertiary prevention is once a person has the disease, what we're trying to do is prevent getting worse and, if possible, rehabilitate the person so they get better. Now, in the hospital, most of what we do is this tertiary prevention. A little bit of this, a lot of community nursing, is these two things together. All right, so health maintenance. Immunizations, frequency of physicals or routine care. So how you want to ask about immunizations or look at their immunization records. You want to ask how often they see a doctor, how often they have an eye exam, cholesterol tests, self-breast or testicular exams, as the case may be, seat belts and bike helmets, efforts to change. Are they cutting back on tobacco or alcohol? Are they on a diet? Are they trying to exercise? You know, what are they doing to try and change and make their health better? All right, the next thing we talk about is environmental history. Now, the first thing is the occupation. What do you do for a living? Now, what does that have to do with health? Okay, if you work in a coal mine, you can get miner's lung, you can get trapped underground. All kinds of crazy things could happen. What's the nature of the work? Okay, so I say I'm a clerical worker. Well, does that mean I sit at a desk all day? Or does that mean I haul around big boxes of stuff and file them? Yeah. Is the person primarily sitting down? Or are they doing something? If they're sitting down, are they at a computer? You know, what are they doing all day? Work setting. Are they in the sun? Are they in an office building? Why would that matter? Okay, skin cancer in the sun, perhaps, lifeguards, beach bunnies. If someone's in an office building, you know, if there's problems with that office building, like, say, asbestos or mold, that can impact their health. Then exposure to hazardous materials and loud noises. Loud? What does loud noises have to do with anything? Okay. The number one cause of deafness in the world, guess what it is? Exposure to loud noises. Now, our generation has an even higher incidence of that because of one simple little invention. The headphone. So, iPods, Walkmans in the old days. What's a Walkman? Yeah, you're really old now, because you remember Walkmans. Yeah. So, personal headphones are a huge factor in people going deaf prematurely because people tend to turn the sound up too much. Rock bands, being in a regular band, like at a game, actually just sporting events in general, airplanes, you know, those can all cause hearing loss. Hobbies. What does a person do for their hobbies? Yeah. Model glue? Yeah, not such a big deal, maybe. Do they, you know, do they hang glide? Do they parachute? Do they jump? You know, do they go underwater and scuba dive? Yeah. What do they do that could affect their health? Now, work-related symptoms. Do you have any symptoms that only happen at work or that get better once you get home? You know, do you have sniffles all the time and you go on a vacation, they go away? And you go back to work and they come back. Travel history. Now, there's a lot of diseases that are regional, and so Has a person traveled recently? And then the last one is living near farms, mines, shipyards, and factories, because any of those can adversely affect a person's health. All right, family history. Now, there's two ways that family history can impact a person. What are they? Okay, so one is genetics. You know, the genes you got from your parents. What's the other one? Okay, environmental. So maybe this disease that ran in a family had nothing to do with genes, it had to do with where they lived or the food they ate. And then if they move, or if you go off to college and start living differently, it goes away. So when we talk about family history, there's really two aspects, and we need to try and get at both of those aspects. So we want to ask about the health status of living of relatives. So are your parents still living? What ages are they? Do they have any diseases? You know, are your brothers and sisters still living? What ages are they? Do they have any diseases? You know, etc. Yes?
Would it still be genetics or would it be environmental? Like, say, like, if one of the parents or grandparents lived in the area where it was, like, say, polluted, or, say, over, like, in Japan where they, when they dropped a bomb and...
Okay, now that's a little tougher question, because when you're talking about nuclear radiation, you know, that could cause mutations that could be passed on to the children, but generally speaking that would be an environmental. Now when we talk about health status, what we usually want is first degree relatives. Who are first degree relatives? Parents, siblings, and chitlins. So, you know, uncles and grandmothers, you know, you can ask about those, but the most important ones are the first degree relatives. And the other thing is adopted is much tougher, because people sometimes want to tell you they're adopted parents, and that's not really what you're asking about. All right, psychosocial history and spiritual history. Tell me about yourself. What you want to find out about is things like their upbringing, their marital status, roommates, perceptions of health care. So how do they feel about the health care they're receiving? Sometimes people don't trust doctors or they don't like hospitals, and it's helpful to know those things. Perceptions and satisfaction with life. You know, it's been shown that people who have positive attitudes are much more likely to stay healthy and to overcome diseases than people who don't have that. How has illness impacted their life? You know, has their life changed as a result of that illness? Religious beliefs and practices, and prayer or meditation. Do they have a social support network?